Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Thank you very much. Too scared to run.
Hey, you're listening to Day by Day Uriah Heep. This is episode number 14 about their 14th album, Abominog, released in 1982. A quote from guitar player Mick Box: I locked myself in my flat for 2 days and drank myself senseless in complete self-pity, but I somehow managed to pull myself together and consider my options. So, Hensley is out of the band. You know, major songwriter in the band, keyboard player, driving force along with Mick Box. Singer John Sloman, thankfully, is out of the band. That guy wasn't so bad in Lone Star, but holy shit, did he suck on that Uriah Heep album he did. I'm sorry, John. Nothing personally, John Sloman. Nothing personally, but, you know, just for me, for my taste, I did not like what you did on that album. I guess Trevor Boulder left the band, too. He was also a big songwriter. They need a new bass player, so Lee Kerslake like brings along Bob Daisley. And they need a keyboard player, so Mick Box recruits John Sinclair, who was in a band called Heavy Metal Kids. We heard on an earlier episode that the singer from that band, Gary Holton, actually auditioned for the band before they selected John Lawton. John Sinclair was also in a band called Lion out in L.A. For vocals, they recruit a guy named Peter Golby, who was in the band Trapeze. He turns out to be a great choice, and he has a great hard rock voice. Turns out Peter Golby had previously auditioned for Uriah Heep, and at that time, the only guy in the band who wanted him was Ken Hensley. Now Ken Hensley's out of the band. Now they bring Peter Golby into the fold. And another quote from Mick Box: "With us all contributing to the writing, we forged a new direction." Yes, yes, you really needed a new direction. The album's produced by Ashley Howe. They called it Abominog, which I guess is the name of the demon-type creature on the cover. That's my guess. I don't know what the hell Abominog means. But, you know, they're a little late since the last album came out in 1980, but they're reinventing themselves for the 80s. This album comes out in 1982, March of 1982. It got pretty good reviews. Kerrang gave it a 5-star review, called it the most mature and perhaps best album of their career. It did relatively well, made it to number 56 on Billboard. And they also played Castle Donington for the Monsters of Rock Festival. All right, let's give the album a listen. Abominog kicks off with a song called Too Scared to Run. Holy shit. Heavy, heavy, heavy. Absolutely love this song, and Peter Golby is fucking great. John Sloman, thank you for leaving the band after the last album. This song is killer. Killer song. Co-writing credit for Bob Daisley on this song, too. We've got the Blizzard of Oz rhythm section co-writing this song. Lee Kerslake and Bob Daisley, along with Mick Box, Peter Golby, and John Sinclair. So all the new guys are co-writing on this one. All right, let's go on to the next song, Chasing Shadows. Looks like all the same songwriters as the last song. AOR song with some heavy riffs, and here's the secret, a chorus. A big melodic chorus. That's what you need, Uriah Heep. You need a fucking chorus. Here we go. First two songs are great.
Footsteps, I hear your heartbeat.
Third song, On the Rebound. This is a Russ Ballard song. He actually released it on his 1980 album, Barnett Dogs. And, I mean, this is embarrassingly poppy with very dated synth, but good melodies. I don't mind it. Up next, a song called Hot Night in a Cold Town. Not a great song. It's like an AOR ballad. The thing about this song is it was originally recorded by Johnny Cougar on his album Nothing Matters and What If It Did, which also came out in 1980. So the first two songs were originals, but now they've got these, you know, songs that publishers are probably shopping around, I would guess. Songs that people had released but hadn't really had any success with, so they can kind of try to recycle them and see if Uriah Heep can make anything out of them. So, you know, it makes for a fun listen, the album, but yeah, the Hot Night in a Cold Town, it's kind of unnecessary.
Slowly washing amber street lights, a Mexican wind blows in, taking a hold of Angelina's hair and her halo. Moon is running, muffling the sound of the street talk. Happy deals going down. Hot night in a cold town.
The last song on side one, Running All Night with the Lion, this is another recycled song from John Sinclair, the new keyboard player. His previous band, Lion, had released an album in 1980 that included this song. Now, this time, Uriah Heep improved on the song. I like the Uriah Heep version more than the Lion version. And also, at least John Sinclair, who co-wrote the song, he previously did it with Lion, but at least he's in the band now, so it's a little different than the last two songs, but still, this is another recycled song. So, side one kicks off with two amazing original brand new songs, and then three kind of recycled songs.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's flip it over.
We'll be right back.
said last night. And for all your fine words, you still don't have it right. 'Cause that's the way that
Side 2 kicks off with a song called That's the Way That It Is. And this is another recycled song because it's written by Paul Bliss. It was originally recorded by his band, The Bliss Band, and released on their 1979 album, Neon Smiles. So somebody has really been collecting songs for the band to do for this album. Apparently they hadn't written enough songs for an album. You know, probably made it before they were really ready, and they just scrounged up these other songs. Like the next song, Prisoner, which is a boring ballad and also a song that was released in 1980 on the self-titled album by Sue Sad and the Next. Side 2 kicks off with two more recycled songs. We've got 5 recycled songs in a row. But finally, we get to some more original songs written by the band. The third song on Side 2 is called Hot Persuasion. It's a riffy song, but the chorus is not great, which we hear a lot with Uriah Heep. When they do a heavy song, they drop the ball on the chorus. So this is a pretty weak song. And, you know, with that title, Hot Persuasion, I would not have really expected much. You know. move on to the next song. Sell Your Soul, written by the whole band. Hell yeah! Driving hard rock song, more appropriately arranged and produced than some of the previous songs. Very enjoyable heavy rock song with big guitars, a majestic heavy metal sounding chorus. This is a really good one, but unfortunately it's buried here at the end of the album. The album ends with a song called Think It Over, which is written by two previous band members no longer in the band, John Sloman and Trevor Boulder, but it's another good hard rock song. The best song on the album is the first song, Too Scared to Run, in my opinion. And then the second song, Chasing Shadows, is also really good, but the other two best songs after that, after the first two songs, are these last two songs, Sell Your Soul and Think It Over. So this album, Abominog, is a weird kind of hodgepodge of various attempts at commercial material and then some killer hard rock written by the band. So they did manage to reinvent themselves, and there's some killer hard rock songs on the album, some cool AOR material. It was sort of a comeback. They would go on to make two more albums with this singer, Peter Golby. There's some great stuff on this album. It's a fun album to listen to. Definitely one of the highlights of Uriah Heep's career. Let's find out if they keep the momentum going on the next album, Head First. We'll find out tomorrow.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.